Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, please. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. See if I can get there. Psalm 37. I'd like to share with you this morning the lesson of unemployment. And you might say, well, what lesson can you find from being unemployed? And I'd like to relate this lesson to, you know, people having dreams and goals. And in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, or verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." In verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him." When I was a freshman in high school, we had a assignment we were given by an English teacher who said that we needed to predict where the seniors would be in 10 years. This was a rather interesting exercise, and we had a lot of fun with it. You know, some people were making fun of the seniors, saying where they would be. But it was good for me because it kind of challenged me to think, well, where will I be in 10 years? And, you know, so it kind of it challenged me to have some dream, to set some dreams and goals for my life. And but I'd like to ask you, you know, we all have dreams and goals, and what will happen? What happens when our dreams are not fulfilled the way we feel they should be? And I have to confess to you that I suffered from the sin of pride and from stubbornness for a long time. After I graduated, you have to go and look for work to pay for school. And for a long time, you know, there were certain jobs I just would not apply for. I wouldn't apply for jobs flipping burgers. It was just beneath my dignity. And it's actually, but, you know, the Lord used that to humble me. And it's quite humbling to have to tell people, well, they ask, "Where, I know what you're doing, Forrest," and it's, well, I'm still looking for work. And that was quite a humbling experience. But fortunately, I was able to get a little bit of work to pay for school, and I had took several temp jobs. And on a temp job, you are there temporarily. And it's quite an experience to have to experience, it's quite humbling to experience rejection from the employer. And it was actually after our trip to Mexico, I could say, with, when we went with Jeremy and Julie to Mexico, that I officially hit bottom. I applied to be a rainbow salesman. For those of you who don't know, the rainbow salesmen are the most slimy salesmen in the world. We sell rainbow vacuums. And but this was an interesting experience for me because I had to get up in front of complete strangers and demonstrate the product. That's what they were training me to do, I should say. Demonstrate the product and sell it to them. So I was getting up in front of strangers talking to them, you know, something I'm very intimidated by doing, about doing. And fortunately for me, I realized that that was not where the Lord wanted me. And, you know, I just couldn't do that, sell raised bums. So first, I had the problem of pride, and the Lord used unemployment to humble me. And the second problem was the problem of contentment, because, you know, we all have dreams and goals. And I said, "Well, Lord, you've given me this goal. Why won't you let me go do it?" And so I had to learn the lesson, because, you know, with going and selling rainbows, it was me hitting bottom. I was willing to go and do anything just to reach this goal or vision. And I actually had to stop and evaluate, you know, whether my dreams were really from the Lord, and was I really putting him first in my dreams? And the last lesson he had to teach me, which I've already said, is the lesson of contentment. I had to be content with his time. And but fortunately, you know, that was a very humbling experience when I went and worked for Rainbow Corporation. But I stopped doing that, and I said, well, that's not where the Lord wanted me. And my sister actually found several weeks later a job in the newspaper that I applied for, and this newspaper was 2 weeks old, so it was totally of the providence of the Lord that I got this job at Alotclean, where I go and wash windows, which again is a humbling job to do because you're going and cleaning people. The lesson that I learned from the Lord, if you in Psalm 37 in verse 4, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." No, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart." And it really was only after I had, you know, you choose to delight in the Lord, that you can really say that, well, if I'm delighting in the Lord, my desires will be his desires. And thank you.
I'm sure all of us could get up here right now and give some kind of a similar story. I know when I first started, I'm probably 20 years older than Forrest, about that. So it might not have been quite so hard back then to get a job. But I remember, thinking, you need a car to be employed. It's kind of funny how different times, people relate to, are you really making money from working because you need the car to get to work, but then you got to buy the car and pay for it. So you really come out any ahead and so forth. But, starting off, I remember working pizza places, fast food places, just wherever, to make the money. I remember being a college student, and I was engaged at that time, and I needed a job. And we've all probably heard the saying, beggars can't be choosers, right? And so I worked at Taco Bell in high school. Then I went back to Taco Bell when I was a college student. And the Lord provides, though. The Lord provides. And, we can all look back at different times of, stubbornness, pride, discontentment. But the whole timing thing. Let's turn to James 4. James chapter 4. The whole timing thing sometimes is what really gets us hung up. It really does. And appreciate that. That's excellent for all of us to hear. Because, even as older folks, which I'm classifying myself as, we have dreams and goals. I see people older than me kind of like, yeah, right, you're older. It's all a comparison thing, isn't it? But even, even as we grow older, we have hopes and dreams and goals. And, if we're not careful, we're experiencing some of the same frustration that Forrest communicated, because we have our goals and dreams and it should have been done yesterday. Well, not always. But James 4, and then we'll get into the lesson here, but James 4 and verse 13, James 4:13, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor and appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. We're fighting a losing battle. Whether it's if we're trying to accomplish something we should not be trying to accomplish, or we're trying to accomplish it too quickly. I mean, I think as Forrest was talking, I thought of Moses. Moses needed a lot more seasoning before he was really ready to lead the nation of Israel. And at that point in his life, when he was 40 and he wanted to take charge, it wasn't the right time. It was not the right time. But, we all can relate wilderness experiences, where things were tough. I mean, it might be financially tough, physically tough, spiritually tough, whatever the battle is. But God's always there. God's always there. He's always trying to get our attention. He's always patient with us. And where would we be without that? Where would we be without His patience, His gentleness? We'd be in trouble. Well, let's pray before we get into the lesson this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your love and goodness. And we do thank you, Lord, that in spite of each one of us, Lord, at times being discontent, stubborn, prideful, Lord, you still just gently and patiently work in our hearts and try to help us understand the goals that we have that might be wrong or the goals that we have that we might be trying to accomplish too quickly. But, Father, we just thank you for your love and your patience and your long-suffering. Just working with each one of us, Lord. I thank you so much for your word and how your word transforms us into the people you want us to be, Lord, that we can produce fruit for you. We just pray, Lord, that you'd continue to work through these lessons here in James 3, that you'd lead, guide, and direct and challenge each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So just over a chapter then in James 3. James chapter 3, we'll start in verse 13. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we've gotten into this section here. We talked about heavenly wisdom, wisdom that is from God. And you know, we maybe didn't emphasize this a whole lot at the beginning, but the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of the world. They're two contradictory things. And sometimes we get the wrong idea. Well, all truth is God's truth. Well, except for sometimes the truth has a faulty foundation. You know, that's what they use for psychology and a lot of the different things that just have gotten people into a big mess in their life. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. The Word of God is where we find wisdom. And see, basically, things are really simple. And I know we live in the 2010 United States of America. You know, I went through some training at school last week, and well, actually, no, it was Wednesday when we were handing out laptop computers to like 250 seventh and eighth graders. It was kind of interesting. I read an editorial in the Daily News about that, and the Daily News actually thought it was a good idea. So maybe we're heading in the right direction. I don't know, but it's the wave of the future, that's for sure. But the gentleman that was there from Apple, he talked about how, I think, don't quote me on this, it was either 540 billion hours or 540 billion days or minutes, I don't know. But whatever it was just, I think it was minutes that people spent on Facebook like a day or a month in the world. And I'm gonna find out exactly what that was. I think it was 540 billion minutes either a day or a month. But whether it's in a day or a month, it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's just an astronomical amount of time that people are just wasting. Just wasting. I mean, yeah, you can get contact with somebody maybe through something like that and actually be a spiritual encouragement, but we know that 10 out of 9 of them people are not doing that. Well, maybe 9 out of 10. 10 out of 9 wouldn't work, would it? But the point is, I mean, that's America. That's the world. I mean, just wasting and wasting and wasting time. But let's look here in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We cannot let it surprise us when we try to give somebody a track and they're not interested. We cannot let it surprise us when we're going door to door and people don't come to the door even though they're there, or that they don't receive it. Like the track, the Bible course, the Bible, whatever we're trying to give them. Out at the sheriff's camp, you know, sometimes there's 5 guys, 8 guys, 1 guy, you know, but it should not surprise us when, you know, we go out there and they're really not interested. They've got their own ideas. You know, a lot of these guys out there, they've been in the public school system for 12, 13 years. You know, they've been educated maybe in a church that doesn't preach the gospel. They preach baptismal regeneration, or you got to be good enough to go to heaven or whatever. And an hour and a half a week, or 4.5, depending upon how many, you know, it's not all going to get changed in 3 or 4 weeks sometimes that we see guys out there. And that's why we tell those guys, you have got to get into a Bible preaching church. You have to. And you know what God told me when I was about 20? You got to get into a Bible preaching church. I was saved at the time, but my life was going nowhere. I had one of my children ask me, why did you go to this place to college? Well, you know what? My life was going nowhere. And the college I went to at this time, I wouldn't recommend somebody go there. But at that time for me, That's what I needed, because I didn't know anything. I knew enough to know I got saved as a teenager, but beyond that, I really didn't know much of anything. And I knew my life was headed just in a non-productive way. I'd been to two colleges in 2 years, and then I took a year off, and there was nothing good going on. There was nothing good going on. The Lord, Forrest talked about pride. That was me. You know, I thought basketball was everything. I played all the time. I spent, you know, I'm talking about spending too much time on Facebook. That was me with basketball, playing all the time. The Lord said, okay, if you want it to be that important to you, I'm going to take it away from you. I was on my back. The Lord allowed me to have such a bad ankle sprain, I couldn't walk. Had to have it casted. It was like that for 3 or 4 weeks. I got the cast off. That's a whole other story. But I couldn't even walk when I got the cast off. Couldn't walk. Had to relearn how to walk. Had to relearn how to run. Everything. But the Lord said, hey, I'm trying to get your attention here. Are you going to listen? Well, I think I listened a little bit more than I had before that, but I'm not so sure. I didn't need to have my ears adjusted a few more times, obviously. But, you know, we get involved in so many things that are just, they're not productive. They're just foolishness. You know, we think, well, you know, this person, they really need to hear this. You know, they need to hear how to be saved. They do. But, you know, sometimes our overzealousness actually turns people off. You know, if we're, like, really on them, you know, sometimes it's just, thanks for listening. You know, like, because if we, like, let it show up on our face that, like, well, how dare you not take this from me? You need this. Yes, they do. But if we let that show up, you know, the next time we try to go knock on the door, or maybe we'll see that person in a store as a cashier or who knows what, are they going to hear? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they'll get the sprained ankle or the car accident or whatever that they need. But verse 18 again, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. People are saved through preaching. They're saved by faith in what is preached about the Lord Jesus. People are not saved by good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. We're not saved by works. But that is what the foundation that most everybody has. It's I'm better than the guy next door. Or I'm not as bad, and I went down through this whole list, you know. I'm not as bad as the guy in the 6 o'clock news. Or while we were out in Massachusetts visiting Lynn's family, there was a guy in upstate New York that ran over a state trooper. You know, and there was signs around in some of the different places where we were wanting this guy. Well, you know, how many people are sitting at home thinking, well, I didn't ever do something like that. Surely I'm good enough to go to heaven. I didn't ever run over a state trooper. But that's what people do. They compare. You know, and we know from the scripture, comparison's not a good thing unless it's us to the Lord. And that's it. That's it. Let's see here, verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There's a lot of people in America and in the world that think they're really smart. They think they're really smart. You know, they've got this education. I was joking about the PhD thing. You know, for some people, that PhD after their name is, it means something to them. It's like that, like, is who they are. You know, I went to school for 4 years, then for 2 years, then for two more, or whatever. I'm talking about the people who got a PhD. I didn't go to school that long. Of course, wait a minute, I went longer than that, didn't I? I've been teaching for like 15 years. I wonder what that would be. That's like a ZHD probably, wouldn't it be? Or something like that? Anyway, that's what they believe in. I'm smart enough to realize there's not a God. Really? Someday they're going to, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. They're going to stand before the Lord. Everybody. But they think they're so smart. But we have to be careful that we have the meekness we saw there in James. Our whole life has to be exemplified with humility. You know, we do know something. We know we have the Word of God in the English language. We know how to be saved. We know what people need to sort of, so to speak, solve their problems, to get things right in their life. But we can't come across like that, Because if we do, it's just going to turn people off. Now, we have to speak with authority, but we have to do it with gentleness. We have to do it with gentleness. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It's nonsense. It's foolishness. And you know, every one of us have got to take the time to do what the Bereans did. Search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. Every one of us have got to do what Paul encouraged the believers in Thessalonica. Prove all things, everything. We can't stop doing that. We got to prove everything. And then verse 21 here, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What that means right there is everybody thought they were so smart that there's not a God. I don't need God anymore. Well, and you know, for many people, they don't want there to be a God, because then that means they're accountable to somebody. That means there's somebody that's over them, that has authority over them. Maybe not day-to-day living, but at some point, God will have authority over everyone, everybody. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Churches today tell stories, you know, crack jokes, you know, whatever. Maybe say a Bible verse or two and tell some more stories. We need preaching. We need it. We might not like it all the time, but we need it. If we don't have it, then we're going to get comfortable. Because you know what? Every one of us needs to be challenged. Every one of us needs a challenge day by day to do more, to do better. Because we can. You know why? Because we're still in this flesh. And we have not arrived, nor will we ever, until the trumpet sounds or we pass through death's door. But we all need to be stirred and enthused and so forth. but many people think it's foolish. You know, preaching is foolish. Why do you go out there in the corner, you know, and preach and sing? Because that's what God says to do. And if we have this many results for decades, it's still the right thing to do. It's still the right thing to do. Same thing with the float. Same thing with the float. Okay. Let's go back to James 3 then. Let's go back to James 3. Verse 13 here. Who is a wise man and doeth knowledge among you? I want to be wise. I believe everybody here wants to be wise. You know, but the first thing is realizing that Jesus, actually we should have probably read one more verse back there in 1 Corinthians. Jesus is the source of wisdom. Jesus is. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom. He is our wisdom. His life is our wisdom. His intercession for us is our wisdom. Everything about Jesus is our wisdom. And it goes beyond that. Who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. If we have any other basis for our righteousness other than the Lord Jesus, we have a sinking sand foundation. The Lord Jesus is it. He has got to be our righteousness. And that's how we're saved, through his righteousness. He took our place on the cross. But we got to believe in what he did. And sanctification. Jesus being our wisdom is not enough just for salvation. It's also for sanctification. It's day by day living that Jesus has to be our wisdom and redemption. And then verse 31 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know what? We don't have anything to boast about. We don't have anything to boast about. Nothing, zero. Zero to boast about. Well, you know what? But I did this. Only by God's grace. I gave up the sin only by God's grace. That's the only way. That's it. It's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace we breathe. We can walk. I was at, 2 Wednesdays ago, I had to be at open house. And one of the I'm not sure why this broke me up so much, but one of the girls has a little sister who's in a wheelchair, and she can't walk. She didn't look as if she could feed herself or anything. You know, but we could be like that. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. I'm not saying she did something wrong to be like that. I'm just saying, just the fact that we can move our arms and our legs, you know, we can all take care of ourselves. We have a lot to be thankful for. And you know, that is really, you know, the thing that we really have to guard against is just a lack of gratitude, you know, for everything we have. If I gave you a piece of paper, we could all fill up one side just quickly with blessings that we have, with how many different ways God provides for us, the things we have, this church, being able to be here. I'll tell you what, when you travel, and I know I say this regularly after we come back, when you go someplace else and you try to find a church, it is not that simple. It is not that simple to find someplace where they're actually holding to the Word of God and they have good music. It's just not that simple. And we have a lot to be thankful for here in our church, and we should never take that for granted. We should never take that for granted. Okay, I don't think you left James 3, but let's make sure we're in James 3 here. But Jesus is our wisdom. He is our righteousness and our sanctification, our redemption. You know, we were all slaves to sin. We were all children of the devil. But Jesus paid that penalty and bought us back, just like a slave. You know, but we got to make it personal. It's got to be personal. It's not enough that Jesus died, that everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody can go to heaven, but everybody's got to make it personal and repent of their sin personally and trust in the Lord Jesus and in Him alone. Nothing else. Jesus plus nothing. Plus nothing. Not baptism, not good works, not I went to church this much, not anything. Not I gave money, not anything. We can't buy our way to heaven. Jesus paid the whole price, and we got to trust in Him. Okay, back here in we're in verse 17 here. We're down to easy to be entreated, and it was like 4 weeks ago that we started to get into this, and we're going to do a little bit of review. Everybody struggles, you know, with certain things. I mean, Forrest testified. You know, he was dealing with this, this, and this. You know, if everybody had a personal testimony time, you know, we could say different times we were dealing with this, this, and this. But what does it take for God to get through to us? You know, like for me as like a 20-year-old, I wasn't very smart. I wasn't very attentive. I was hard-headed. I know I'm probably still hard-headed in some ways. But I didn't get it. I mean, I was getting it a little bit, you know, but a lot of times when you get it a little bit, it's kind of like in my math class, you know, if you got a little bit, you're actually more dangerous than if you got nothing. Because when you got a little, you think you know how to do it, and you do them all wrong, and then now I got to unteach you the wrong way and teach you the right way. So it's actually better to have none sometimes than it is to have a little bit, because a little bit has a bunch of air all in with it. But what does it take for God to get through to us? You know, does he really have to do something? I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, we were still living out in the mobile home park there, and I was on my way to school, and I was late, and I was in a hurry. And there's a place out there on, 19 Mile out there? 19 Mile, it turns into Sydney Road when you get over into Montcalm County. Well, there's a place that's got a really steep hill. Well, I thought I was smart enough to figure out that there wasn't a car coming the other way, and I was trying to pass. I almost died that day. Because I got out the pass, and there's like a car right there. And it was only, I mean, and God, you know, it's one of those, what are you doing? Well, I don't know how there was not metal meeting metal, but I ended up going, I just skid and like turned around and like, and there's like a big swampy area there. I didn't even end up off in that. I mean, I could say, wow, you know, or I could say, wait a minute, I better take inventory here. You know, I could have died, I could have killed somebody, you know, just because I'm in too big a hurry. But you know, it wasn't just that, it wasn't just about that morning. It wasn't just about being late to work. It wasn't just about needing to get up earlier in the morning. It was about, look at your life, Ken. Figure out what's not going the way it should and why it's not. You know, it was a wake-up call. I remember a couple years ago, I just got my knee scoped, and I was on my way to school, like the next Friday or something, or the next day, and a girl, I mean, I could have died that day too, because she made it to the intersection just before me, and I ended up hitting her on the passenger side, and there was nobody in that side of the vehicle. But if I would have got there sooner, she would have just plowed me. I mean, you're talking about a second probably. A second difference. Only the Lord orchestrated both of those situations to where I can still walk, I'm still living. And that's a testimony of God's provision. You know, but also, you know, those kind of things happen for us to evaluate some things. For us to evaluate. You know, does it take that kind of something for God to get our attention? Well, I'm sorry to say, you know, for me it did. But hopefully for us it won't. You know, hopefully as we go forward it won't. That we will be more attentive. You know, that we will let that still small voice be what we hear to correct things that need to be corrected. You know, otherwise it can be devastating. It can be devastating. but what does it take? Are we easy to be entreated? Just from our own Bible memory, you know, and it might not be a word-for-word memorization of a verse, but just from what God has allowed, or a bit of a verse, you know, when we're struggling with something, will we let God just use, God the Holy Spirit just use that little bit of verse, you know, take over in our minds and calm us down if we're getting riled up, or help us to be focused on other people instead of being selfish, or whatever it might be. Whatever it might be, how easy is it for God to get our attention and to help get us back thinking the right thing and desiring the right thing and have our goals and our dreams be what He wants? You know, sometimes we go after things with such tenacity, that with such zeal and desire and fervency, you know, sometimes it's just all of us. Sometimes it's just all of me wanting this. We got to evaluate. We got to look. We got to remind ourselves of what we just saw here. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And I'm not trying to tell you that what you want isn't of the Lord or is of the Lord. I'm just saying, every one of us, we got to evaluate. We got to let God show us. You know, and sometimes God takes us a certain distance in one goal, and He kind of turns us to the off to a different goal. That's the way it works sometimes. It's something where He wants to see, are we faithful in the current situation, and then we might get a greater responsibility or even a greater goal or a greater dream. You know, if we're not faithful in the little, we're not going to get the opportunity to get faithful in much. We've got to prove ourselves, so to speak, so that the Lord can use us. But just something to think about. You know, we're gonna come back to this, Lord willing, next week about this easy to be entreated. Look at it from some different angles. But you know, what does it take for God to get our attention? You know, just Bible reading, Bible memorization. You know, one of the parenting. You know, as a parent, you know, I try to. I don't know why I started doing this. I actually had somebody comment to me once, because like when I'm talking to my children, I try to speak low. Maybe it's because if I'm not careful, I'll be speaking too loud. I don't know, but I try to speak low. Do I always do that? No, I don't. But that's what I try to do. I try to speak low. I try to even whisper at times. Number one, I think it just calms the situation down a lot of times, just to talk low. But, you know, that's one example. You know, but obviously if that doesn't get their attention, then you've got to move to something more than just the still small voice, I guess. But the point is, will we let God do that for us? Will we let God, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit with the scripture that we've read or the scripture we've memorized or the scripture we heard from someplace, will we let that change us? You know, or does it take more than that for God to get our attention? Well, like I said, we'll, Lord willing, continue next time. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and goodness, and we do thank you, Lord, that in spite of us, Lord, if we're truly, truly honest, in spite of us, Lord, you do a work in each one of us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, in our desires, in our goals, our dreams, and on we could go, Lord. But we want to give you the praise and the thanks for that, that in spite of us, you do a work, and Father, you continue to work with us, Lord, even when we fail. But Father, I just pray that each one of us, God, would just allow you the reign in our hearts and in our minds and our thoughts, Lord, so that when we begin to think something we shouldn't, say something we shouldn't, do something we shouldn't, the Holy Spirit is just immediately bringing Scripture to mind, Lord, to steer us in the right direction. And that's all it would take, just your word and a reminder from you. Lord, just help us to see how important that is to be fruitful for you, and God, just to have a life of blessing that you want us to have. We just thank you once again for the privileges to gather. Just continue to bless in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.